I didn't join the Navy to die like this.
The X3F Defense Force Podcast. I'm Richard Elliott, Demolition Elmo.
Patrick, my name is Patrick Young, and my gamer tag is DarkAboos14.
This is Jonah Falcon, and my gamer tag is Jonah Falcon.
Matt Joseph, gamer tag Matt Joe.
Holly Atesi, gamer tag Fantastic Shield.
Evan Zinzer, gamer tag Gonzo.
And this week we have two special guests joining us here today are...
I believe my name is Frank Romano. I believe my gamer tag is the man 661 from xcastonline.com. What's going on, guys?
And I guess I'll plug myself too, but I'm David Drager. Sure, my gamer tag is Knuckles Dawson, and I'm from achievementhunter.com. You're number one place for this stuff.
Sweet.
Yes.
Most of you might recognize Knuckles from the old X3F days. Yes. So, yes, fun memories, I guess.
Oh yes. Yeah, those were good days getting paid to podcast. I miss those.
Oh, you actually got paid to podcast.
So we might as well just delve in. Okay, what has everyone been playing this week? Patrick?
Well, I've been playing Rock Band some more, and then I beat Castle Crashers.
Nice.
Yay!
I've still got to do that. Jonah?
Okay.
I have an interesting story. I've been trying to play BioShock to get the Historian achievement, and the game totally screwed me over. I mean, I know I had checked everything. I had checked every single audio diary. I get the last one. It tells me, I double check it. I didn't get the achievement. I had two that I, quote unquote, did not pick, so I backtracked, and they're no longer there. So I got screwed by a glitch, and I'm not going to play it all over again just to pick up every single audio diary. Again, so the Historian achievement is the achievement that I did not get. It's a real but fake one.
That sucks.
Yeah. Gotcha. And I'm also playing Gin Rummy, too. A lot of it.
All right. Started off the week playing a bit of Rock Band. I picked up another achievement in there. I got the 100% on a song on Expert in Guitar. I used the song Maps. So I started off my week by that. Pretty easy. Then I've been playing pretty much just Mercenaries 2. I picked that up. It's okay, but it's buggy as hell and pretty glitchy, but it is still fun.
It's glitchy. You should see the PS2 version.
Yeah, I know. It's still fun, though. I mean, it's just to fill in some time while I'm waiting for Rock Band 2. It's okay. And I tried a few demos.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
You're waiting for Rock Band 2? I thought you were a Guitar Hero.
Well, I am, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to buy Rock Band 2. I love all music games, so I'm going to buy both, but I'll just like...
Are you going to buy Rock Revolution 2?
Possibly, yes. Possibly.
It has Spirit of the Radio by Rush. I can't not buy
exactly.
It. Until they actually release that for Rock Band, I'm going to be like, well, shit, I have to get Rock Revolution.
Anyways,
And it's a cover, too, which is terrible.
I'm going to get Guitar Hero World Tour just because it has Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
I look forward to seeing you play that.
I've also been trying the demos for NHL 09, NBA Live 09, Beijing 2008, which is just god-awful. And then I tried the new arcade games this week, but it's pretty much just been Mercenaries 2. That's why I've been 95% of my time playing that, and I'm just about done. I got a few missions left, so.
Oh, no, cool. You didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
That was a great ad for Mercenaries 2.
I have the MP3.
Ollie?
Mostly Castle Crashers, and yesterday I played a little bit of Puzzle Quest. And I did pick up the new Viva Pinata, but didn't really play much. The co-op on that is really weird.
Wow.
It's just weird to, you're basically in someone else's garden, or you're, you know, the gardener and someone is in yours.
Invading someone's secret garden.
You're invading someone's garden, kind of, you know, either watering their plants or killing them. And just like, you know, I'd be trying to water a plant and then my husband would open a screen and it's like, trying to do something in your garden over here. Cut it out. And also, like, there's the achievements for couch social. Like, if you play 1 hour on the same box with someone, it's an achievement. But only the, he got it. Because he was, it was his garden. And I didn't. Yeah. So, that's
awesome. So, is it like
stupid guitar pinatas.
It's like the, like, Neversoft Guitar Hero games where only the primary profile gets the achievement?
I guess so.
A lot of games do that, though. It's pretty normal.
I suppose.
It's like a terrible thing. Doesn't normal doesn't mean good.
No, I'm just saying.
So normal. Normal does not mean good.
Evan?
I've been playing Fable 2 pub games and Castle Crashers. Pub games suck. Castle Crashers is pretty good. Pub games is based way too much on luck, but I guess that's gambling. I probably shouldn't have gotten it in the first place. Castle Crashers.
Paid for it? Wait a minute.
I got the free beta. I downloaded it.
Okay.
I pre-ordered Fable 2, but I still don't think it was worth it for free either. It's just
it was free.
I enjoy it.
I like Tower of Fortune, or I think that's the name of the game. I like that game mode, but Spinner Box and Keystone are definitely.
You're just mad because you can't get that win 100 times your big spin achievement in the game, and you've tried 600 times, supposedly.
Actually, I've tried more than 600 times.
Yeah, I got it on, like, my third roll.
No, he's talking about the slot machine one for winning 100 times your bet on a slot machine.
Oh, that one. No, I haven't gotten that.
Yeah, I got it.
Castle Crashers.
Oh, wait, I did get that one. Yeah, I did. Yeah, the jackpot.
Yeah.
Jackpot.
Okay, David?
Oh, that's me?
Yep, that's you.
Oh, I've been playing everything. No, let's see. I don't know, man. I mean, right now I'm doing Grand Theft Auto for Achievement Hunter, and I've been playing some on the side, some Project Gotham Racing 4, just picking up some of the last stuff on that. Castle Crashers, and I walked into a Blockbuster just down the street that I'd never really went into before, and was looking at picking up they had like a sort of like a subscription based, you get like, you know,
yeah,
a month, you know what I'm saying.
Blockbuster, yeah, it's called what are they called again?
Yeah, seriously,
it's gonna be beeped. You said it was gonna be beeped.
You're gonna get us an explicit tag.
Was like, oh, I know what you're talking about. It's that Blockbuster pass.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's sort of like GameFly, but for Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I didn't rent anything, but I did walk out with 7 new games.
Wow.
I bought, because they're all like anywhere between $15 and $7 or $8. And so I got.
Let me tell you something about Blockbuster.
Bad games. But I got Stuntman Ignition for $10 for new, and that's actually, I really liked the demo way back when I came out, but everyone thought it was really hard. But I'm like, hey, wow. Not that you just string all the things together. But let's see. I got a bunch of like really crappy but Gamerscore related games. I got Stuntman Ignition, MotoGP 07, Open Season, CSI, Hard Evidence, Jumper. What's the other one? Lost Via Domus and Surf's Up.
Look at that game.
And then when I got home, I had Two Human and Viva Pinata Party or Trouble in Paradise in my mailbox from Microsoft. So I was like, well, I got 9 games in one day.
How are you liking Two Human?
I haven't opened it yet. This is like a couple days
ago.
Yeah,
me neither. They sent it to me.
But I do want to play it, and I will probably get
all the achievements.
Something like that. That's a given. But yeah, but right now I'm just diving into Mission, and I've been playing Rock Band and all that jazz recently, and the stuff that was at, I was playing Rock Band 2 and Gears 2 and stuff at, or PAX, so it was a good time.
So you guys actually get sent games, eh? It's pretty awesome.
Xbox MVPs. Xbox MVPs get all Microsoft Game Studio games automatically.
Yeah,
plus get another one.
I didn't get the luxury of getting Viva Pinata, but Too Human was on
Do
my
you have list. To like sign up for that or like?
No, not at all. It's just like a.
Are you an MVP, Frank? Or
no, I am not.
So an how MVP. Do you get them?
Well, I may not be an MVP in October, so we'll find out. I'm on my last month.
No, it's just Xbox community stuff. You know, I've had a show for 2 years. It's kind of like. It helps me talk about stuff. But anyway, at PAX, I played? I played some Left 4 Dead. That was awesome.
That was amazing. That was probably one of my favorite games to play there.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I liked how they had that little media booth they can go into and play, so you weren't surrounded by people.
Yeah, that's where I was.
That's where we went. Left 4 Dead, Gears of War 2. I mean, the multiplayer isn't that different at all, to be honest with you guys.
I had a much better Gears of War 2 experience at XO8 because you weren't, like, on these really crappy podium kiosks. You were, like, on a couch.
Oh, that was awesome. And at XO8? Yeah. That was really good.
And it was actually 5v5.
And Cliffy B was there playing with us.
But he's a cool guy, but I'm not going to, like, waste my load on
Cliffy B. Gonna get very upset.
Well, I know the real reason why he did that name change, but he told me that quote off the record.
But But I played some Gears of War 2, Guitar Hero World Tour. That was pretty cool.
Guitar Hero World Tour doing a good job, Frank? Do you think?
It's Rock Band reskinned. You know what I mean? It's Rock Band reskinned.
No. But this, in terms of actual enjoyment and play, who's winning? Harmonix or Neversoft?
I really couldn't tell you because I didn't get to play Rock Band.
David, weren't you at XO8? They had both those games there, and I got to see and play them. So I think NeverSoft's doing better.
Really? Yeah. You are.
I'm a Guitar Hero fan. I mean, I like Rock Band, and I'll buy the new one.
I'm not a Guitar Hero fan. I think that Harmonix makes better rhythm-based video games, and that NeverSoft is doing a crappy job.
It's because both those statements are true. That's why you think that.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like Rock Band like to begin with. I'm not really a big Guitar Hero fan, but that would do. I played some Need for Speed Undercover. That was kind of cool.
I'm going to get myself some lips.
Alpha.
Well, I can't wait to see your YouTube video of you singing Duffy.
Yes.
I'm begging you for mercy.
No thanks.
One thing I did get to see at PAX that I saw at XO8 that was really awesome was Pure, the ATV thing. The demo just came out. That game is fun.
Yeah, Pure, and another demo came out as well, aside from Pure.
2K9. Wait, Pure Disney made a decent game?
I guess. I don't know. Isn't Disney Interactive Studios that made that game?
Yeah
it's Disney.
Is. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. What's good? Did you like it?
Yeah, NBA Live 09 also came out as a demo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this week I've been playing some. Rock Band. Been playing some Jonathan Colton, Skull Crusher Mountain. That's some sweet ass tune there.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
I bought the whole pack. It was a bit of a impulse buy.
I bought the whole pack because of if I only like I only wanted Skull Crusher Mountain, but because of the proceeds going towards Child's Play or something like that, or some sort of charity-based thing until the end of October or whatever. I was like, well, I'll just buy the other two songs. And so I just got the...
That's half the reason why I just like thought, meh, stuff it, just bought it on... Didn't even care about how many points I had left in my account. I just thought, meh. What else have I been playing? I've been playing a bit of Halo, Call of Duty 4, and Mel Gibson Safari 3.
What?
Is that Mel
Gibson? I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's a. I was watching an animation thing called Burnt Face Man. I don't know if anyone of you has seen it, but it's a bit. It's British comedy mainly. It's, it's most of the jokes will be lost.
So it's a parody.
That's because they're intelligent, right?
Pun?
That's because they're intelligent jokes, right?
No, most of them are slightly homophobic and like those kind of jokes. But
that fits in right better. With Mel Gibson.
The main character, Burnt Face Man, started reviewing this game called Mel Gibson Safari. It was originally on a really unknown console. I can't remember what it's called now. The Scorpion 8. This is pre-NES times. And someone's actually made a Windows version of it. So I've been playing a bit of that. Can't get enough of 8-bit elephants. So
that square is an elephant.
Well, yeah, that's how I've been spending my week.
I played Adventure for the 2600. I had to expect this little dot was me.
So, yeah, shall we all move on to the next section?
Of course.
Okay, this week we've just picked some news stories from, like, the most popular news stories from off Xbox360Fanboy.com. So, this week, Call of Duty 5, World at War Beta has been announced, and the game is going to come out in November, on November the 11th.
Wait, did you just say Beta?
One sec. Or...
I think it's pronounced Beta.
No.
Call of Duty 5. It's technically between
Call of Duty
World
War.
It's World at War. Yeah, it's 5 is coming out, like, after.
And it's
World
an egg beater.
Yeah.
No. It's because I'm British, you see. British. I said beta.
Okay, but just for clarification, you're referring to the Call of Duty 5 World at War Beta that was announced.
Beta.
Funny is that the Latin letters...
Is it the alpha?
Which is really funny. I think that's hilarious. The original letter, the original language is pronounced differently. But hey, you can say beta however you want.
I want a fajita beta.
Or maybe he's like the best person on the beta, so he's a master beta. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now we go back to the old days of yore. Oh,
yar.
Good times.
Okay.
So, basically, Activision and Treyarch have I pronounced that correctly? Is it Treyarch?
Treyarch.
I don't know, because, I mean...
It's Treyarch. Get it right.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, I'm British. America's best of the English language. Homer Simpson hit the nail on the head in one of the episodes. He goes, what we got next? And Barney goes, English. And he goes, English. I'm never going to go to England.
Basically.
Yeah.
Are you going to start singing like Henry Higgins about how everybody can?
Alcohol is both a solution and cause of all our problems. But anyway.
I have that on a t-shirt. Anyway. So Treyarch and Activision have announced that the Call of Duty 4, World at War beta is coming out just a few weeks.
Can you actually not say it?
That's just, I'm going to talk in a British accent too.
Just say it. What do you want me to say? Go on.
No, it's fine. You just keep on going on.
Okay, Activision and Treyarch have announced the Call of Duty 5 beta.
We're gonna be on this all day.
That's good.
And it seems spiffing, what? The actual game is coming out on November 11th, and yes, I can't see anywhere. Where's the actual beta?
You're blind too.
So how do you go about acquiring a beta code?
Okay, it's
beta code.
If you pre-order the game, you could get it, or I think...
It doesn't act.
On GameStop only.
Yeah, also if you sign up for the GameStop Call of Duty website, you could get one. Also, GamePro is giving away a few codes. There's a bunch of ways to get in.
So you're going to get in no matter what, basically.
I am.
You'll be in the beta. It's a demo.
It's probably like the Call of Duty 4 one last year.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, exactly.
It's too late in the process to actually call it a beta, though.
It's not a beta; it's a demo. They're just glorifying it.
Yeah, exactly.
But just for clarification, Call of Duty 5 is coming out after World at War, so it'd be Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty World at War, then 5 is later.
Oh, so they're not using the 5 in this one?
Exactly.
Okay.
Not using.
Did not realize that.
So 5 will be by Infinity War. It's gonna be confusing, and nobody's gonna get it. But I guess that's what they're doing.
It's gonna be the same numbering system as that other. Like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. They go backwards and stuff, yeah, basically.
What was it? Yeah, so he keeps referring to games as like the Resident Evil method of schooling, of numbering games.
Basically. Some are going to have the numbers, some aren't. No.
Let's put a load of names in the hat, just a load of numbers in the hat as well, and just pick them at random.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have Call of Duty 11 before 5.
Let's see, I have... Call of Duty Shards of Valor. Okay, that's the name of the next game. Shards of Valor. Let's go. Come on. Get out of a hat.
Well, just to throw it out there, I prefer franchise name colon subtitle over franchise name number.
As do I.
Personally. I mean, that being said, that does not mean that when you fall back to a number that you should be able to just not include that. You should make a distinctive choice. Okay, we're going to be calling it XYZ, not, you know, XY2, XY3, XY4.
Or that well, order. The Street Fighter Turbo, what's it called, numbering system, which you have about a billion of, or the Grand Theft Auto numbering system.
That's a mess.
Well, that's engine-based, yo.
Yeah.
Word, yeah, but they're still full releases.
Yeah, I know.
And they're not related
to
each other.
That's why I'm saying you should stick to one if you choose it and not go back and forth, like in the case of the Grand Theft Auto franchise.
Or just number it like a Madden title.
Yeah, based on year, that's even better.
Yeah, but then we'll get Grand Theft Auto 08.
Yeah,
Grand Theft Auto
012.
Oh, it won't be 012.
Okay, so we're doing this in the Roman Empire. Great.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, has anyone else got anything to say about World of War?
I played it. I liked it. I'm excited.
I like World War II.
Just like how Harmonix is greater than Neversoft, Infinity Ward is greater than Treyarch.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not even... I don't know.
So, I mean...
I wasn't... Go ahead.
I was just basically going to say that it's the same similarity in that the company that birthed the franchise and the gameplay type usually has a better grasp of how it works than the other one, especially when you have both developers making those games. In this case, they're actually sharing the IP as opposed to other games who are just like, hey, we'll just add some more instruments. But Infinity Wards does a better job with it. I mean, maybe it'll be better since they're using the COD4 and have no idea that they learned from their mistakes at COD 3. We'll see.
They're going to make
vehicles in it.
Postal game called COD4. Cash on delivery 3. Rottweiler Ridge.
Yeah, actually, Rich, to answer your question, there are vehicles.
Half track goes here. Yay.
I was reading on my GamePro, they're going to say there's a multiplayer mode, they were saying, with vehicles, which is a first for Call of Duty. They haven't had any online modes ever with vehicles.
What? Well, that's maybe not vehicles. I mean, yeah.
That's what they were saying in GamePro, so I don't know.
Well, Call of Duty 3 had vehicles, and messed that up severely.
All right, then maybe they were referring to
Call of Duty 3 have vehicles?
Yeah, but they were on rails. So they weren't.
Call of Duty 3 was
driving.
A bitch when you got run over like from behind.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We have news to talk about.
Swiftly moving on. More popular story. For a limited time, popular 360 DLC will get owned.
Oh, that's me. All right. Yeah. There's going to be major savings on Xbox 360 downloadable content, including the Bring Down the Sky content for Mass Effect. That's going to be $375 or 300 Microsoft points. You're going to have the triple bonus pack from Lost Odyssey, a couple of car packs from Forza Motorsport 2, Guitar Hero 3, the Def Leppard track pack, the Foo Fighters track pack, and the Classic Rock track pack are getting down. A whole bunch of beautiful Katamari downloadable content that's actually just unlocking the stuff that's on your disc. And the biggest of all is going to be the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Shivering Isles, which will be dropping from 2,400 Microsoft points, which is $30 here in the United States, to 1,600 points, which is $20 here in the United States. So that's a savings of $10 right there.
And also, if you go to over to MajorNelson.com, he's actually made a whole chart where you could see the content, the original price, the promotional price, and what percent you're saving, how many points you're saving. So if you head on over to Major Nelson's blog, you could see exactly what Joan is talking about.
Or Game Stooge, because I copied the entire chart and placed it
on
there.
Or Game Stooge.
GameStooge.com, the official home of Jonah Falcon.
What a Falcon! Talking to you for GameStooge.com. Come visit us, right by the Parkway. Open on Sundays.
You're really the free freelance writing there, Jonah.
Anyways, I'm definitely going to be getting the Shivering Isles. I held off mainly because I had the 20 gigabyte hard drive, but I recently upgraded. So now that not only can I fit it, I also have this $10 off deal, so I'm definitely going to get. Plus, with the Oblivion content, there's 200 points worth of achievements there for, you know, just do it, running the gamut of the Shivering Isles. And I heard it was really good, so I'm going to be picking that up.
Well, yeah, me too.
What does everyone think about this strategy then of, like, cutting the price of some of the most popular DLC? Because, I mean, they're not exactly brand new items.
I never downloaded the Mass Effect or the Oblivion stuff, so now I have incentive to during this limited time window of it being cheap.
Yeah, I downloaded the Mass Effect Bring Down the Sky. It was okay. I don't know. I didn't really like it all that much, to be honest.
Well, if it doesn't, the idea makes sense money wise for them, because if it's popular, that means most people already have it, so there's not going to be an extreme.
It's a loss leader. So, like, hey, well, and then the thing is that they have to buy these Microsoft points in bulk, so they're going to have this leftover that they're going to spend on other stuff at full price. See, that's where the marketing happens.
We're going to get all the
magic
Katamari stuff, too.
Yeah. I'm not going to download the GH3 track, though.
Although I did already have all the ones that are discounted.
I had the classic rock one because it had Austin, but then that turned out to come up on Rock Band. But hey, we're stalling.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, next we have confirmation that Bungie is going to be adding some new achievements to Halo 3.
Yeah, through its mythic up.
So, like, at PAX they had a special build called the Mythic build, and someone managed to snag some shots of the achievements blade, achievement section, displaying some new achievements, and they got leaked all over. And anyway, Bungie has finally come out and said that, yes, they are adding at least 250 gamerscores worth of achievements. Some of them are going to be worth zero game score, and they're going to be some of the Vidmaster challenges.
That's Marathon. It makes me wonder.
Yeah. I think they're trying to bring in a kind of Marathon, which will then loop into the story later on. But, yeah, conspiracy theories aside.
That's your conspiracy theory, yeah? Cool.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories aside, there are a few decent achievements there. We've got just looking down the list, double, which is worth 25 game score, and well, most of them are 25 game score. I'm not going to read through them all.
The thing is that they didn't actually the people who grabbed the picture, they didn't get any of the description, so we only got achievement names and their worth in gamer score. So take it away, Richard Elliott.
The descriptions have been added though. Now they've been released
for the ones they announced that are true.
Yeah.
So some of the highlights. Double, where you get two double kills during a ranked or social match on a legendary map. Came from behind, which is worth 50 game score, and on a legendary map, you get three assassinations during any ranked or social map match. Get that. And Road Rage, which on a legendary map, get 5 Warthog chain gun kills during any ranked or social match. So that's just like a sample of three of the list. But yeah, they seem like they're trying to get more people to buy the legendary map pack. It seems just from the description,
from the
all
sound
of them.
The way it
Wait,
works.
When is the legendary pack going to be free?
They said that there was on the link to the weekly update said like they had at the bottom of the weekly update they had like a question and answer session. And one of the questions was when's the legendary map pack going to be free? And they said, they haven't got any plans to make it free ever. So
they certainly are now.
Yeah, I mean now that
I guess they're saying we're not going to tell you.
Yeah. All right, I got a question about one of them though. I was just going to say for Vidmaster Challenge Light Switch, it's worth 0 gamer score, but it says get to the rank of Lieutenant in any playlist in the new EXP progression system. So what is this new EXP progression system?
basically the new XP the EXP progression system is every playlist is going to have its own EXP and its own rank.
So what are they doing with the EXP you have now? Ones if you're already a lieutenant, like
it stays.
You'll keep that.
Or you get the achievement,
and it'll add to the overall rank. But each one will have its own individual rank. So if you're really good at, say, can't say Rocket Race because that's not going to be there anymore. But basically, if you're good in team doubles, you'll have a high rank. And then if you're rubbish Lone Wolf, you'll have a low rank. But it'll still all go towards the same main rank.
All right.
It'll all make sense when it happens. There it is.
I hope so.
They'll hire Richard as their PR guy, and he'll have it all extended out.
Yeah.
It'll be streamlined.
With the new achievements, most of them are going to be kind of easy to get because you can go ahead and do it in social and just kind of...
Which is better than having every single damn multiplayer achievement, except for, like, slightly after the fact, having them all lone wolf-based against four other people, meaning that if you wanted to get an overkill, you had to kill all of them in one go. Yeah. Social keeps it from breaking the multiplayer, because I don't know how many of you actually heard people begging to trade achievements in lone wolf games. Yeah. So would you rather have them go off into their own servers and do their own thing? I'll take away from the competitive nature of ranked gameplay?
Well, maybe, but make it just like all ranked. That's what I would have rather. Like,
yeah, I mean, getting a double kill with the laser in teams on Valhalla is not something that should be, scoffed at. That should be something that earned the double, the two-for-one achievement or whatever, you know what I mean? So... That's just, they made a misstep and they're obviously correcting it with the requirements for the upcoming achievements, so it's good to go.
Okay. I'm going to ask Patrick to spiel off about this because he requested this one to be talked about. Dead Space is going to be, the release is going to get bumped up to October the 14th. So, Patrick, take it away.
It's my birthday! It's the second game this year that's coming out on my birthday. First is Saints Row 2, and now it's Dead Space. Which, I have a feeling that Dead Space is going to be better than Saints Row 2.
There are also separate genres, but hey.
who's
coming? It doesn't mean a game can't be better.
Usually you have to sort of... You can't compare Assassin's Creed's marketing to Halo 3's. You know what I mean?
You can, so, it wouldn't be exactly wise.
You can still compare the overall quality, though.
Having Dead Space and also playtested Dead Space back when it was like alpha build, that game is... I am really looking forward to when I get my hands on the retail build of that game. It's going to be fun. That being said, I'm still not going to discount Saints Row because Saints Row, the first one, was a good GTA clone prior to it being released, so...
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I prefer Saints Row to GTA, actually, because the thing is that Volition is coming from a PC standpoint. I mean, I tried to play San Andreas. I could not stand it. GTA 4, it just never connected with me. Saints Row did because it has so many more PC conventions, stuff that I expect from PC games, obviously on the 360, and it just was a lot better constructed, the activities and all that stuff. I mean, I love the ragdoll stuff, getting the insurance money, just running out in front of cars and getting...
Yeah, I have to say that as far as lasting a pill, Saints Row 2, it was looking better than the Grand Theft Auto 4.
I don't know. I kind of like GTA 4, just because it was in New York City. It's kind of up my alley.
Saints Row 2
I like video games.
Yeah, I mean, comparing Saints Row and Dead Space are pretty... it's really...
It doesn't work so well. I mean, like, they're different demographics.
Yeah,
different,
yeah, but, exactly.
So why do you think they're making it, why do you think they're bumping it up to October 14th? Do you think that... Because
they're running ahead of schedule.
Because of playtesting that they're actually squashing all these bugs ahead of schedule.
They sent David Drigger into playtesting, and he gave them their opinion on it, and they were able to push it
forward. They're like, well, crap, we need to make this game a failure. Oh, crap.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So... I heard that they were... Actually, I confirmed that they were you know, they were just running ahead of schedule. They weren't expecting it to be done. I don't know why.
If you think about it, it might have made it worth their while to just, like, sit on it for a bit. Because Halloween, yeah. Like, Halloween is, like, the perfect marketing release.
But Halloween is Saw weekend, man.
yeah, that's true.
Here's a question for you. When is Silent Hill 5 coming out?
Is it coming out? No, Halloween?
It's coming out soon, I think. I played it at XOA.
Because I think they may be trying to separate it from Silent Hill 5, because those are similar games.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, by Silent Hill 5, do you mean Silent Hill Homecoming by any chance?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's the numbering system again.
Yeah.
Silent Hill game.
Silent Hill game. The new Silent Hill game. We can just call
it that. Silent Hill
game
new.
Faceless nurses.
Game new. Awesome.
Speaking of delaying games, though, I don't know if you guys remember, but Mercenaries 2 was supposed to come out in October, and they delayed that till August. And I've been playing it. I mean, I cannot imagine what it would have been like if it came out in October. It's so buggy and glitchy as
now. I'm going to tell you right now what it probably was. They probably changed the engine.
Okay, but... I mean, like, they had all those mods.
When you change the engine, that causes major delays. Just ask the people at Duke Nukem Forever and Daikatana and Half-Life.
Or Bungie with Halo 2. Did they, like, make that game, like, three times?
Something like that. I don't remember, but you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yep.
They rebuilt
it. When you change the engine, that causes massive delays. And you don't always get a perfect product.
All right, but they should have kept working on that game, because, I mean, it is fun, but the problems, there's too many to make it, like, a good, legit game. It's brutal, some of the things I've seen. Like, some of the glitches are just, they should not be happening. Like, it's just stuff that should not be in a video game. They should have tested stuff, like...
I'm going to tell you once again, what probably happened was that with the old engine, they realized they weren't going to be able to get what they wanted. The massive freeform world and... buildings collapsing and all that stuff with the old engine. They said, oh, this isn't going to work. We're going to have to use a new engine. And you can see from the PS2 version, I mean, if you saw the video of it, this guy is, what's it called, driving towards this cliff. He stops at the edge and all of a sudden a bridge pops in.
Yeah, it was pretty... I mean, I like the first one, though, but...
I don't know if it's that different from the 360.
Probably they probably figured out that they couldn't do what they wanted with the engine that they had.
Yeah, but I mean...
And the thing that they didn't want to have is vaporware, in which, you know, it's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, but the 360 has some bad stuff also. I mean, I've seen videos of the PS2, and it is bad, but the 360 is not much better. It has tons of popping in. The loading times are absolutely disgusting on the 360. Like, every little thing you need a loading time for, and it takes way too long. And there's just other, like, weird glitches that it's just... It's really an unfinished product. Like, I don't know why they released it. But it is still fun, just as a filler until Rock Band 2 comes, I guess.
You know, it's just something to play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not... something you would want. I wouldn't spend
time. No, I rented it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Finally, our major news story. It's major. Official. Microsoft has announced that North American 360 is a price cut.
Yes, so, they are.
Yep. So now they're going to make the arcade $199, which is now cheaper than the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
The new 60 gig is going to be just under $300, and the Elite is going to be $399. So,
I mean,
they haven't released anything about any news on whether Europe and Australia and Asia are going to get a price cut eventually.
Well, didn't Japan get the price drop already?
Yes, they did. Sorry, my mistake.
Japan got it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, now they really need to focus on Europe, especially because, I mean, in the UK, it's not so bad. I mean, it's mainly 360 territory. But, I mean, I know in Spain, Greece, all the other European countries, they're just not... They're all PS3 fanboys. So, what do you think, though?
Yeah, I'm going to probably pick up the $199 because it comes with an HDMI and I have my extra 20 gig that I got from my old one. So it's not a bad, you know, upgrade for, say, I want to just use it just for videos or stuff like that, you know. Or
yeah, but, like, as far as the gaming console, it does nothing except for, like, a few arcade games. Because if you bought the arcade version for $200 and then you have to buy a, you know, let's say 20 gigabyte hard drive or whatever.
But I don't. I just said that. I already have.
No, but I'm saying for the gamer that doesn't already have that.
Plus I get another controller and a little memory card and all that stuff. So it really works out.
proof.
But the thing is, you know, you can easily buy a 20 gig hard drive off eBay for almost nothing anyway. It's not like, you know, you're going to have to spend the whatever amount. Wait, are they going to drop the price? It's going to be interesting how much they drop the price on the 20 gig.
Yeah.
They're discontinuing the 20 gig model.
Just the 20 gig hard drive itself.
Oh, okay.
The 20 gig hard drive.
Yeah, that price drops.
Yeah.
The
20 gig on Amazon is cheaper now for a little bit and stuff like that. Best Buy, they're just trying to clear them out. But as far as the hard drive goes, I have no idea.
Yeah, actually a lot of deals going on right now with the 20 gig now with the core.
Yeah.
I think that some people are. I think Amazon has a deal going on.
They do.
Yeah.
Best Buy also, I think, pretty sure.
Okay then.
I was just gonna say, I didn't know, Rich, if you were done with the news, but there were just two more little things, just tiny little things that I wanted to add. First of all, in Guitar Hero World Tour. I don't know if you guys heard, but Sting is getting, he's being in the game, like he's gonna be like a playable character in the game. Also, presumably he's gonna be probably one of the boss battles in the game, kinda like they did with Slash and Tom Morello in Guitar Hero 3. And he's just one of the many, people who are gonna be in the game, so they've announced that. And also
joined too.
Wait, does that mean the Police aren't gonna be in Rock Band anymore?
I don't know, cause it just says Sting is in the game. I don't know if the Police are gonna be like a playable band, but I know you're gonna get to play as Sting and probably face him in a boss battle also.
I didn't like the boss battles in number
Me neither, but it's still cool to play as like real people, I guess. I mean, I like playing as Slash and whatever in the other game, in Guitar Hero 3. Grand Theft Auto 4 sold 10 million copies. If anyone cares, they've made about $450 million in revenue. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much money.
God. And last...
Yeah, they're swimming in money. Yeah. As a matter of fact, remember, they were having to deal with EA trying to buy them out. So
that's still going on.
Yeah, they had a net income of $51.8 million after having a net loss last year of $58.5 million. And... They're bragging about having Top Spin 3, Midnight Club, and BioShock for the PS3 and all that stuff.
Mm. Also, I'm sure Holly and Patrick are going to talk about this in their Rock Band segment, but the Rock Band disc export, that update was available this week. So the update where you're going to be able to export all your songs from Rock Band to Rock Band 2 is now installed into the game, and I think it's going to be $5 for the... to purchase a license fee, and not all the songs are going to be exported. There's only going to be 55 out of the 58, correct?
Yes. Yeah. But yes. I don't understand why you brought that up now.
Yeah. We were going to talk
about
that.
Okay, so go on.
You were.
Sweet. We're moving on to This Week in Rock Band. Go.
Okay, well, it's This Week in Rock Band. First off, we had the PAX Track Pack release. And which was, I think it's one of the better track packs to come out. Not with difficulty wise, but just the fun of playing each song. Boston's I find them enjoyable.
Boston and The Who still are the top two. That could be in the top three easily, but those two are the top two easily.
Yeah, well, I consider The Who pack more of, I could have put that more on the lines of albums because of how large it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the Boston pack, Boston, it was like, it was that whole album minus one song because the other song is on Rock Band.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. And well, there's actually another song that they couldn't get. There's two songs that were, there's a Four Play Long Time was on the disc, and then there's another song they actually couldn't get for DLC from the first album.
Yeah, so same, it's pretty much that whole album. Mm-hmm. And then Holly's going to talk about what Matt decided to talk about.
Sorry.
Well, like Matt said, the song export tool is up there now. 400 points, you get 55 songs. The ones that are missing, Enter Sandman, Paranoid by Black Sabbath, Run to the Hills.
I like Run to the Hills.
Sorry. That's exactly why I don't like Run to the Hills.
She's cutting out on us.
And, there was a video of it up on X3F that Richard Mitchell went through the process. It's really easy, simple, doesn't take too long. The actual exporting takes the longest, but I just ran and got a cup of coffee.
If the exporting process didn't have the Benny Hill music, I will be sadly disappointed.
Oh, Yakety Sax.
That's only if you hit the fast forward on your Xbox 360. That button's on the side, by the way.
Okay, then.
But, fast processing, like the Genesis.
Blast processing.
Hey, Don LaFontaine died on the first. Show some respect.
Yeah, that's true. Rest in peace. Who's going to do those voices now? Anyway, that's off topic. But
all right, well, and then...
Chris Eric's going to go off topic.
Next week's was announced, and it's an All That Remains track pack with three songs. This Calling, and then two songs from their new album, Chiron and 2 Weeks. And they're all going to be 80 Microsoft points a pop.
Okay.
And then, that seems to be the thing now, is they're value pricing everything.
So, I was just going to say,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let me get this straight. Another week with crappy DLC from Rock Band. What else is new?
Well, the PAX pack goes to Child's Play. I do know that those proceeds apparently go to Child's Play.
And those songs are really good, so I'm going to say, it's really good downloadable content. This week it's all right.
If you want to be super, 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 super generous, buy the pack and then buy the three songs.
Yeah, exactly. So
double up.
That was cool when we heard that. I enjoyed that.
Hey, can I ask a quick question real quick about the exporter?
What?
How exactly did that work?
Basically, what you're doing is you're purchasing a license so that you can actually they did an auto update to actually make this tool possible. You go into options and you go to music exporter. You purchase a license for 400 Microsoft points, so that's $5. And then what it'll do is it will take all the songs except for the three mentioned, which were Enter Sandman, Paranoid, and Run to the Hills, and it will actually make those individual songs into quote-unquote save game files on your Rock Band platform, fit in your memory, so that when Rock Band 2 or in future releases see it, those songs will be available to play there. So basically it's taking about a gig and a half of music and just throwing it onto your hard drive so that you can access it through other games. And they'll all be individually... files, and you can delete them individually if you want to, but then again, if you want to get those back, you cannot re-export them individually. You have to go through the whole process all over again.
Okay.
Right, how was that? Was that a nice string of words to fully explain what the hell was going on?
Very awesome.
I still have
it. Xbox 101 with Knuckles Dawson.
Hey, Knuckles, I'm reading your Twitter conversation with Zav. It's pretty interesting.
Yes. Why are we bringing this up?
I don't know.
I was going to say, I've been watching it the whole time. It's pretty interesting.
Bill of material, which we could cover in the break, so I think that's a reasonable segue. We'll be back after these words. This last week, PAX has been going on. And our two guests have been in attendance. So, David and Frank, can you just like go over what about the whole event and just what are your thoughts?
It was packed.
Do you want to go first?
Do you want to go? I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
Well, I mean, I have more encyclopedic knowledge on both the convention as a whole, and I was also there for all the days. All
right, you tout your knowledge, and I'll sit back.
All right. Okay, cool. Well, the Penny Arcade Expo started in 2004, and it started at Bellevue's Meydenbauer Center.
Yeah.
And the attendance for the first was, we had 1,337 pre-registrants, so that's elite, which is pretty cool, and a total of 3,300 or so attendees. Then we had, for PAX 05, which was back at Meydenbauer, we had 9,000 attendees, and I don't know how many, but that was like triple the attendance. Then we had over 19,000 for PAX 06, which is again at Meydenbauer Center, and that place was shoulder to shoulder sweating nerd. It was bad. Holy junk. That was intense hardcoreness. Yeah. But then they decided to move it into Seattle at the Washington State Convention Center for PAX 07, which was last year, which had a grand total of 35. We had somewhere around 36. It was under 38 because 38 would have been double, just shy of double the attendance. For 35 or so, it was like between 36,000 and 37,000 attendees, and then PAX 08, which is this past year, had 45,000 pre-reg and 58,500 attendees, and it was still kind of packed. But if you used your charisma and media badge properly, you didn't really have to deal with lines too much.
Not too much. There was like a couple lines, but not that bad.
Well, the thing is that you'd make media lines that had simultaneous attention, access, and that's what I sort of utilized. But PAX is a 3D event or a 3-day event that takes place.
3D, yes. Yes, it is 3D.
Glorious three dimensions. That
2D. 2D PAX.
On the last weekend of August in Seattle, and it's got panels, gaming related concerts on. Nights, the Omegathon, which is a reality TV show of watching gamers get tortured into not necessarily the most skill based, or into the how good is this, how fun is this going to be to watch? Jenga was tense.
Jenga, exactly.
Anyway, and then we have exhibition hall with a bunch of people showing off their games and making announcements and whatnot, and. Just like console free play, sumo lounge chairs as far as the eye can see. It's just a great experience. And there's like plenty of FaceTime with Gabe and Tycho on their panels and whatnot, which if you are going to PAX, if you miss any time that Jerry and Michael are on stage, you are missing that convention on a whole, because that is the highlights of all of the PAXes.
They're funny. They're
funny. Good. I get
it is open to the public, right? PAX?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is a community. It is for gamers by gamers. It's a community-based event. Okay. It is like, I mean, it's not.
If there's no public there,
then
there's
56,000 people who attended.
58,500, which is what I said at the beginning of this diatribe. But thank you for giving us
the question. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was more because it was crowded.
Well, I thought it was really funny seeing people with badges Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm like, who's getting single-day badges, dude?
I know. I've never seen... And they ran out of 3 days at one point. They did run out.
That's what the sarcastic gamer threw out there. I wasn't sure if that was confirmed.
No, we heard it at the line, like while we were waiting on the line.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, so exactly. So I thought it was one of those fake Friday, sarcastic Fridays that Doc does, but it wasn't. But they ran out of 3 days. It was crowded, but if there was one event, I would say, if you were going to go to, I would definitely recommend PAX to be that event.
Yeah, if you're going to do a convention, that's a good place to... Break your diamond.
Yeah, exactly.
Comic-Con's a different beast. It's got, like, triple the attendees. So, if not more. How many hundreds of thousands went to Comic-Con this past?
I don't know.
No one knows.
No one knows. That's so.
Media knows. Tilt.
I've only been to one event, and that was X08, and I thought that was pretty good. But I'm sure
PAX
is way better.
X08 was fun. It was very low key.
Yeah, it was a small event. There was not that many people, but I liked it.
It was under 100
people. Because they gave out invitations. They gave out invitations for X08.
Yeah, invite only.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, PAX is open to the public, and it's open to people of all ages. Although you need to sign a release if you're under 13 or something like that. I can't remember how that actually works out, but it's a lot of fun, and it's, I mean. I like going to it every year. I've been to every single PAX, and it's
you
sort
go
of
to one MIT or wherever.
Oh yeah, I'll be going to in 2010 when they they're speaking
East Coast, East Coast PAX.
Yeah, PAX and that plural PAX.
For the love of God, thank you.
I know.
Yeah, East Coast PAX taking place in Boston in PAX for 2010, and we discussed this during the panel, but the plural for PAX is PAXIS, which is PAXIS, so that we are the PAXIS of evil, and yes, 100% awesome. But anyway, so I will be attending both the standard and the PAXes in 2010 onward.
I think I'll do that too. That sounds like fun.
It's amazing. I mean, PAX. And let's see. Do you want me to go through what actually happened on?
I was there first.
I'll go over Thursday and Friday. Thursday had a MVP dinner with Microsoft with MVPs and some MS heads, followed immediately by Kiki and Oopie's pre-PAX party, which was sponsored by, or like, you know, made by the Blue Skittle and Gamertag Radio. And we had Harmonix there, and they were actually had Rock Band 2 playable on display along with, you know, drinks and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. That was a good start for the day. And then Friday had media had a two-hour early opening to the exhibition hall at 12. And then we had the opening keynote by Ken Levine, which was really, really cool. It was a great story of how he started in the tabletop gaming, and then he sort of felt like he found his people. And then once he like sort of moved away from that while growing back to the gaming side of things, when he started developing games, and he felt like he was with old friends again. So he was talking about sort of the demographics of gaming and the culture that sort of spawned from that back in people of his generation. And that was immediately followed by the Penny Arcade panel, which was hilariously awesome. As always, anytime that Mike and Jerry are on stage, you have to see it. Then we had the Rooster Teeth panel, which had the announcement of the animated. We had that animated short that we showed for the series that is going to be work on that I can't really talk about too much aside from, hey, look on YouTube if you want to see it. But it was really, really cool and really well done. And there was that. And then that was followed by just sort of like lounging around some stuff and then checking out the 1UP's Freeze Pop and Jonathan Colton concert, which was truly amazing.
Yes.
And by the time...
Oh, it was like, a huge success, huh?
It was a huge success.
I'm Felicia Day.
I'm making a note here. Excuse me.
Yeah. That's great. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction, but actually, Felicia Day from the Guild and or Dr. Horrible sing-along blog actually came out and did a duet with Jonathan for Still Alive, and it was truly awesome. And Re-Your Brains was the closer, followed by Encore, First of May, and Sweet Caroline, I think. Yes.
All right.
Our cover, Sweet Caroline. But yeah, that was great, and it was totally awesome. Freeze Pop was a lot of fun, too. And then Saturday, you were here for some Saturday stuff, Frank?
I came in like Friday night around like 9 o'clock. I got to the hotel, checked out Sarcastic Gamer. They did their live thing on Friday night, so that was when the Freeze Pop concert Jonathan Colton was going on. So I was there for that. So you went to the concert to be all cool, and we went to Sarcastic Gamer. To be all community, because that's what we do. But that was cool, so I had a lot of fun with that. Then Saturday, woke up pretty early. What did I do on Saturday? I guess I just went around the convention center, said hello to, you know, Chris Paladino, all of them first. And then they were showing off the new experience stuff. They did all that. I wasn't there for Friday, so it was just a rerun of all the things at the Microsoft booth that they did. There was a lot of panels going on. The Gamercast Network one was on Sunday. I'm trying to think. What panels went on Saturday, Knuckles, do you know?
The ones that I went to?
Yeah, the ones that you went to, because I tried to...
Make a Strip, Fallout 3...
Okay.
Prince of Persia and Far Cry 2, and we also walked around the show floor and did some other cool stuff. But I think those are the only things that we caught. And we had some gaming things. We played Left 4 Dead and did some Rock Band 2 Guitar Hero World Tour.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Left 4 Dead was awesome. I mean, if there's one game you have to buy, I would buy Left 4 Dead, to be honest with you. I love it.
I'm torn between getting the 360 version and the PC version.
Get the PC version.
Yeah.
Well, I probably am, because I keep on hearing how great TF2 is on the PC. So, because
it's on
something lacking in the 60 version.
The PC version will have more support from Valve, and also probably have like mod capabilities and all that kind of stuff that you normally get from the PC version, not from the 360 version.
Mm-hmm. All right, I just have a question that probably everyone's wondering. Knuckles, how was your meeting with Dustin?
Dustin, yes. Well, I believe that there was a promise that I made that the first thing I was going to do when I met Dustin Berg was going to shake his hand and then punch his face out. And so we actually, And I'm not sure, has anyone here seen, and this is a rhetorical question to an extent, but has anyone here seen Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
You know when they reach at City Cloud City and
Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, and there was like the I did the fake punch hug combo. It was a good time. So I was able to fulfill that, and I'm not going to talk shit about Dustin because anyone who knows Dustin, it goes unsaid. So he was full on.
What's that supposed to mean? That could be good or bad.
Well. I was going to comment, but I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, but he hung out with us, and then on Sunday we hung out, and we went to the Family Feud panel, and then he left.
Okay.
He decided to not watch the second Gabe and Tycho panel in lieu of going to the Gears of War signing.
Figures.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, if you go to PAX and you don't see Gabe or Tycho on stage, you're really missing the point. And by the way, having Gabe, Tycho, Robert Koo and Gabe's wife Kara come up on stage and to start off with the concert, they were doing the Omegathon round for Rock Band 2, and they had the two bands did Eye of the Tiger, but they opened with Any Way You Want It by Journey, all of them playing on Expert, and the cool thing was that Gabe or Michael rather made recreations of their Penny Arcade comic counterparts in game, and it looks startlingly really well done. Like, like the Wombat was on Kara's shirt, the Pac-Man was on Gabe's shirt, and he had the orange undershirt, and the hair was matching, and it was just really cool having them do that. And I was at the very, very front, and it was totally freaking badass.
So was awesome. Dustin as bad as you thought he would be? Because I remember at XO8 when we were talking, you had some choice words about him.
yes. He lived up to his expectations.
What expectation was this?
Wait, before you say anything, don't say anything drastic.
I'm not going to burn any bridges. Because, this is fine. I mean,
the guy's living legend. I can't.
Which one of us?
Both of you are, but yeah, still. There's a reason why
he definitely has his taste in video games, which has definitely stayed the same. Like, he did, in fact, only buy 4 games in the year of 2007. He bought Crackdown, then he bought Halo 3, Rock Band, and Guitar Hero 3. Not in that order, though. Those are the four games that he purchased outside of some arcade titles, which he only bought a couple of that he bought in 2007. And then, for whatever reason, felt that he had the journalistic knowledge to give an accurate depiction of what this game year was, which turned out to be Halo 3. Okay.
Of course.
So, he played some Bioshock, and I think he may have played some Orange Box.
He didn't buy Bioshock?
No, he never bought
Bioshock.
Was he a renter?
No. I think he goes to like some friend's place and plays at their place, but he never
does. That's what it was. I remember talking to him.
He never bought Guitar 2. He only... Did he buy... I don't think he bought Guitar 2. Yeah, he only played it at a place.
At friend's house, I remember this.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the inside Xbox thing. When he's on the community close-up, he's like, "Hi, I'm Dustin Super Dunners from XboxMusicFanboy.com, and Gears of War 2 is going to be the best game ever." Raised eyebrow and thumbs up at the camera. Yeah, okay.
That's typical of him, though.
And I can't confirm or deny because I didn't physically see this, but I believe Mitchell Dyer from Nakuda.com, who was hanging with me the whole time, he saw him on like one of the first days wearing a pink shirt, which is probably fine because it's not pink, it's lightish red, and I fully endorse that. But I distinctly, that's something that Mitch said. You'll have to ask him, but that's fine. Dustin Berg is definitely Dustin Berg. I mean, he doesn't play Dustin Berg on the radio so much as I play Knuckles Dawson on the radio. But
yeah, I got you.
Wait, are you referring to the Inside Xbox in the U.S.? Because I'm in Canada and I don't ever see
you
guys.
Yeah, you have to go on the U.S. You have to use a U.S.
I have one, so I'll check that out.
Yeah, I have my Nozwad Selkunk.
Nozwad's exactly.
Backwards. Knuckles Dawson backwards.
I also have one more question about PAX. Just like most of the games at PAX I played at XO8, so I know pretty much what they're like. But there's one game that I wanted to hear about, the new Penny Arcade, the Xbox Live Arcade, the Penny Arcade characters.
Oh, episode 2, yeah. they had demos. They didn't have it playable, but they had hourly goals at Hothead, and it was looking to be that they're cleaning up a lot of the issues, and they are adding new difficulty modes, and it's going to be
a
lot of fun. And they changed your weapons, because rather than getting... Because I think that there might be some punching upgrades for Gabe, but Tycho gets a shotgun now rather than a Tommy gun, and rather than a rake, you get a hoe.
But do you get another rake?
Yeah.
The first one was awesome.
And Div makes his appearance. Yeah, I really like that. I was one of the first 7 people in the world to get it completed on full 200/200 because of the competition we had over Rooster Teeth.
We're not bragging here.
I think Penny Arcade Adventures is probably the best arcade game I've ever played. I also got 200/200, and I'm super excited for the episode 2.
Yeah, I mean...
There are definitely a lot of really good arcade games. It is definitely the best It is the best game with RPG elements.
I think it's the best arcade game, period. But
nah, Pac-Man CE for me.
I like Geo Wars too.
Yeah,
I just
You have Braid. Man. You have Pac. There are a bunch of the Summer of Arcade had a lot of really good titles. So
yeah.
I'd never really saying that one thing is the absolute best thing ever because the
just say it's your favorite.
All right.
I mean, yeah, it's your favorite and. I would implore you to explore some more titles to broaden your taste, and don't be a Dustin Berger.
I've played every single arcade game that's been released.
Is that a verb now?
I think I just coined it as one. But there's definitely
a he's like an absolute flop, and nobody buys it, which I doubt it highly. But
Gears of War 2 was a lot of fun.
If it does bomb, it'll still be Dustin's number one game of the year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
But it's gonna sound
he's already fapping to a poster he has a bathroom.
But
don't
get
all dusted on us, Knuckles.
That would require me to have some dental work done first. Oh snap! Whoa. Anyway, we're on to not talking about. I don't really care.
I don't care.
I'm from a company that names itself Cockbite. I mean, seriously, it's not a big
deal. That's exactly what I know.
Okay.
But yeah, Dustinberg he was fun. We definitely left on friendly terms. I don't mind him. He's okay, but
I don't mind
him. Except you used the psychotic prankster achievement on him, right?
Man, if I could actually do that, that'd be awesome. Well, I actually saw that in person rather than him going up
so
to
his own thing. Well, not in person, but I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually at the thing rather than him going elsewhere. Anyway, PAX was awesome. I implore anyone who has sitting on the fence to either go next year, or if it's a geographical issue, go to the one in Boston if that's closer for you in 2010, will have an amazing time. And look for the guy in the Arsenal jersey with the Dreamcast endorsement.
I was going to say, you wore that jersey again.
You wore it at XO8 also.
Picture I've seen
you
wear that jersey.
Luke McKay. Well, Luke McKay, there's people who sort of have specific quote unquote wardrobe for conventions. For example, Luke McKay, the artist for Richard Comics, he draws himself in a specific attire and he wears that attire whenever he's quote unquote out on industry related stuff or anything that's community related stuff. As such, the Dreamcast jersey I've worn to. Every single day every day that I've been at PAX, that Dreamcast jersey has been worn, and I wore it to XO8, and I wore it to RVBTO and the Ken West. So,
yesterday they had this party for.
I also wear it while snowboarding because it looks awesome, and it breathes well. So it gets its fair share. Well, it's a freaking
living
football jersey.
I know.
Yeah. Yesterday they had this party for Spore in San Francisco, and the dress requirements were don't dress like a casual, formal, don't dress like a
Wow.
I mean, PAX definitely, like I was saying before, I'll say this to anybody, like I said, if you haven't gone to, or you're planning to go to one convention, I would make PAX it. I mean, I flew 7 hours on a plane to go to Seattle, which, if it was in Boston, I'd love it. But
I'll see you there in 2 years, dude.
I'm going to go next year to the Seattle, of course, so. I'll probably go to both.
In 2010, you'll go to both with an L?
I'll go to 2010, and in 2009, I'll go to Seattle again.
Well, I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, and hopefully we can hang out more.
Yeah, well, hey.
No, I was, I was there for 48 hours, so I was running low, and we were running around, jet lag and stuff. Wasn't fun.
Yeah, I understand how it works.
Yeah.
So, next time, come in Thursday night.
Yeah, no, next time for sure. That was my plan, but I had to delay my flight until Friday night, so.
kind of sucks, but I'm happy I went. Yeah.
So before we move on, best game of PAX, worst game of PAX, biggest disappointment?
Well, if I thought something was a worse game, I wasn't really going to play it. I would definitely vote Iron Chef for the Wii or something stupid like that.
Oh, yeah.
My virtual list. There was bad games. No, there was bad games.
Was that arcade game or whatever that, like
had... Animal Racing or something? No, that was there too.
It was like a 2D shooter, platform shooter thing where you could, like, design, create, and edit your own. Oh, that was the most hilarious thing. I mean, a game is bad.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
You know a game is bad when the trailer for it tells you the exact same thing three times as separate bullet points.
Yeah, I remember.
It's like, multiplayer. I can't remember. It was some sort of thing where you're like this, like Mega Man wannabe shooting shit. Do you remember try to think of the name of it. Anyway, so this is probably, I'm gonna call this the worst game just because I think it's funny, but like it's 160 levels, multiplayer mayhem, and then it like shows like says edit, and then it shows like the screen, and then it goes design, and then it shows a similar stuff, and then it goes create your own levels. And then share online, and then had like it had audio loading or something like audio sync loading. I'm like, what? But
everything you expect in a game, they put it as bullet points.
Well, no. The fact that you can edit, design, and create your own levels, which are all separate things to do in the game, kind of made the trailer lackluster. And the Warhammer Online Age of Reckoning or whatever, that trailer was long for one thing, and it was really funny because every single character dies. Essentially, hey, I'm going to kick some ass. Oh, shit, I killed people and I'm dead. Except for the one chick who's wearing, like, loincloth and has her ass crack hanging out the back. She survives.
I've been doing the beta for a year now. I must say it's coming along really, really nicely.
I'm just referring specifically to the trailer.
I'm just putting it out there. But the only time you really are in massive danger is when you're playing against other players, because so far it's been sort of easy. They're probably going to ramp up the difficulty when it's actually released, which is in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
anyways,
best game. I like Left 4 Dead a lot. Like, I'm gonna say, I really enjoy that just because the co-op aspect of it. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead would probably be my non-music rhythm game best game of thing because Rock Band is. Rock Band is its own platform essentially. Yeah. Monix has followed through on their E3-07 announcement of it being its own, it being a music platform, and that sort of stands on its own really, and so. I mean, I would definitely say that between the two, I played my fair share of Rock Band and Guitar Hero World Tour, and the World Tour drums were fun.
Yeah.
But I still have a lot more fun. Harmonix is making the more fun to play, and like, you know, you want to go for the challenging stuff, yeah, sure. But it's all about having fun playing and like feeling like you're creating the music rather than like, you know, like and going to a music editor and creating a game. I'll probably like throw together some tunes and stuff. But
yeah, exactly. I got
you. So best game would easily for me would probably be Left 4 Dead. Fallout 3 and stuff looks amazing. I mean, lots of stuff looked really amazing. The level editor in Far Cry 2 was totally intense. That was awesome. And Prince of Persia just showed its E3 demo, but it was still beautiful.
I mean, and so there's just a lot of good stuff coming out. You know, I mean, everything's going to be basically good.
And I saw Major Nelson do his 10-minute spiel on the new Xbox.
And how we can't film it, the no filming sign.
Yes.
He held it up like 5 times, like, don't film. But everyone did, and it's on YouTube now.
About PAX is that they showed off that game creation software as like a flash game creation software.
Yes, they did. There was a demo for that. It's called Popfly or
something. Popfly.
Yeah, Popfly. Yeah.
They did show that off, and I was talking in the back. I was talking with Nelson in the back. I don't know. I didn't really give it much of a chance, but it looked kind of cool. It looked very easy. You know what I mean, it wasn't like Sine. It looked a lot easier, like just drag and drop stuff. It looked fairly easy. You know what I mean, if you're into that kind of thing. I really wasn't paying attention. And then they did the dashboard. They showed off Gears of War 2. There's a demo of that, like the main thing. I don't know. Left 4 Dead, definitely, I'm going to say. Left 4 Dead.
Biggest disappointment is that the f***ing convention is just getting too big. I had very little community time. The most community time I had was actually at the pre-PAX party when I got to hang out with people and have drinks and just, like, you know, eat and stuff. But there was always something going on, and it's... I mean, you have to cut stuff. You
That's
have
true.
To accept that you
That's
will true. Not see everything. I mean, the fact that I got to see the Xbox 360 stuff was because we were running across the freaking place from one place to the other trying to catch the time for that. But there was this. They could take all that content and spread it across 5 days rather than 4.5 days rather than 2.5.
Well, Yeah. Maybe it's the hours, because I think the last event was like at 5:30 or ended at 5:30 or so. Well, they just a longer day.
Sunday, you know they always. They could expand that out, but
they also have larger auditoriums as well.
You get absolutely trashed. I mean, if you're doing the full extent things and like after the concert going to the Rock Band 2 free play that goes until 3 a.m. and then getting up for the opening stuff getting there around 9 to like
at 9.
You will absolutely destroy it. You are exhausted by the end of that.
You're tired.
And I was I was very happy that it fell onto a Labor Day long weekend. I mean, sure, that means that Bumbershoot's going on at the same time, but take all the panels that
traveled like time zone.
Exactly. I mean, there's travel.
Someone came from Australia, you know what I mean? So if you travel and then do that in 3 days, they should extend it. Yeah, they should extend it for 4.5 days. There's really, I could see it. You couldn't.
There's too much sound, like there's a lot of something and stuff, so you have to accept the fact that you're not going to see everything you want to see.
It sucks.
Or you just have to prioritize things, because I would have loved to have been hanging out at the Microsoft booth a lot more and got to play more of those games. I didn't get a touch bat, like Obama. The only thing I really played there was Gears of War 2 and Facebreaker, but then again, playtesting Facebreaker for EA, so.
But it's like, you know, I mean, like you said, I wish, because you definitely had to cut things, whether you were more community-based or event-based or what you want to see. You know, I mean, you have to have the goal in mind. I mean, it kind of sucked because, you know, we were recording a show somewhere, but it's not like on the PAX schedule. It's just some random community site, like Sarcastic Gamer or something like that, or Post Game
Report. Yeah, that's happening during concerts, and you...
Yeah, and it's like, I mean...
And whatever. It was funny, specifically with that concert, we came in about halfway through the one-ups. We were just sort of chilling on the outskirts, sitting down, and then once they went down and went to the free spot, we just... Slowly but surely, there was four of us. There was me, Mitchy, and my two my two press crew people.
Counterparts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
your entourage.
Exactly, my entourage. Yes. Anyway, so the four of us were weaseling our way through the line. And by the halfway through the freeze pop set, we got from the outskirts on the outer edge to being like, you know, maybe 30 or 40 feet from the front of the stage. And then we just would like wait for people to either mosh properly or whatever, and just sort of like find a thing to move forward. And then by the time that the freeze pop got off and Jungle and Colton started, we were actually at the very front and center of the stage, and you can actually see us in YouTube videos, like, you know, talking with Jonathan and stuff at times.
Well, didn't the guys at PAX hire the guys who also run the Comic-Con, you plan the Comic-Con? They're going to be using them to do the Massachusetts thing?
I do not know. I mean, I was at the press only thing, and they didn't go into many details about what we're planning. They just said all we can talk about... Yeah, all they could talk about at the time was, or at least at the event, was Boston 2010.
Since 2010, yeah.
And before PAX 10 in Seattle. So like a couple months or a month before, something like that.
Right. Yeah. What I'm saying is that they're hiring this firm that will actually, you know, set up, you know, the one in Boston, you know, in 2010. So, and the thing is that these guys do a really good job, you know, because Comic-Con is like PAX in that it has a lot of stuff going on at once, but people find the time to be able to, you know, move around and not miss out on stuff because they have tons and tons of conferences and all that stuff. So they might fix that problem of overpopulation and you know, overstimulation by 2010 with the Boston version.
If the guys at Penny Arcade can do the DVD right, and like, sure, if they want to charge an extra 20 or 30 bucks but have virtually everything in there, like the complete PAX 08 experience on DVD, because the PAX 07 stuff basically had concerts, the Penny Arcade panels, and the Megathon final round, and that was
BlizzCon it. Charges $100.
Yeah, but like if they videotaped everything, but if they could freaking have all that stuff, all that content available, because I know the PAX 05 DVD, basically they had the other stuff, but they had it only in WMV format, so you could still stream it off your 360, but you couldn't. It wasn't like the format of just like, hey, here are WMV files, watch them. For like all the other stuff that wasn't. Like,
something. All right, guys.
Well, they have. They have.
I was just gonna say, me and Frank, gotta run soon, so can we start to wrap it up? You know.
Well, hey, that's I'm capable
of
talking.
We should have like a PAX only Xbox 360 Dancast Dance Force podcast. PAX only. We could have went on for hours. Yeah. I think we could add like a 3-hour episode.
But should we move on to the next topic?
Okay. Yep.
My XBLA. You have to bleep that.
This week in XBLA news.
Okay. So there's actually a lot of news today, this week. And it was highlighted by the fact you had one of the rare three arcade game days. On Wednesday, they released three games. They released Gin Rummy. They released Shred Nebula. And they released Pirates vs. Ninjas Dodgeball. First two are pretty good purchases. I mean, Gin Rummy is only $5, and it does what it's supposed to do well. Shred Nebula is actually a remake of Subspace, which is pretty nice. And but people have been really ragging on Pirates vs. Ninjas. They're saying it's really, really terrible.
I actually liked it, to be honest
really?
With you. When I played it back in April. I went up to the PR company or whatever in New York City. And I played it I played it with a bunch of people, so it was kinda cool, but I don't know. Right, it's kinda shaky.
Yeah, we also got some new XBLA DLC. If you own Golf Tee It Up, there's a new Desert Course map, and it's the same game that's on the PS3, and it's a pretty nice little golf game. You should check it out. And Poker Smash got a new environment pack, which just adds music and backgrounds, but it's only $1.25. Also announced for XBLA is Death Tank. it's an old Sega Saturn game, and if you really need a description of it, it's sort of like Worms, except in real time. You know, you have these tanks and they're firing stuff at each other, and it's really kind of fun. It'll be interesting to see how it translates to XBLA. Also, King of Fighters 98 is coming. That's part of a long-running fighting series, King of Fighters, of course. It was recently ported to the PS2, but it's coming to XBLA. It's going to be arriving sometime in 2009. And then we have Things on Wheels, and that is basically the sequel to Mad Tracks. And a bunch of achievements were released for it. Basic, you know, achievements. One of them, weird ones, is Things Fall, in which you race, shake your body, drive into bidet, and finish the race. So you get to drive into a toilet. It looks really good. The graphics far, far supersede that of Mad Tracks. It is really nice looking. It looks like it uses the Unreal Engine. I'll have to check on that. Also is Castle Crashers title update for people who are having issues with it. There was issues with saving, online connectivity, and other bugs. Recently, they said that there's going to be a small delay, so the guys at the Behemoth are saying, just, you know, we'll release it soon enough. And today, another platformer was released called Owl Boy. And if you want to, it's your typical Japanese platformer. It sort of has a slight the braid look, except nice, bright, and sunshiny. You know, not as moody and depressed. And it's always nice to have a traditional Japanese art platformer. I mean, we have Braid, but it's not really a platformer. It's sort of a little game disguised as a platformer. Owlboy is an actual platformer. It's coming out for the 360 and PCs, but judging from the size and the graphics, I can't imagine it's anything but an XBLA title. So that's the XBLA news, if you want to have any commentary on the stuff I just mentioned.
Oh, everybody wins.
Everybody went.
Basically.
Yep. Okay, so Achievements 101 is our last segment for today, and it's a new one, and it's being read by Matt, so take it away.
All right, I'll try to do this speedily as possible. So,
Hey, can I jump in and help out with any of it if you want to go into the mic? Because, you know, it's kind of my bread and butter.
We're really getting fast now!
All right, yeah, so this is David Drager did invent this segment over at X3F, and we kind of took it, but... Anyways, it's just achievement news and some achievement tips. So in achievement news, we have achievements for a few games coming out that came out this week. We got the achievements for Fallout 3, Fracture, Lego Batman, and Legendary. All four games look pretty good. The achievements are also looking pretty good. You could check those out on xbox360achievements.org. And as for some achievement tips this week, I got a few. First of all, in Rock Band, I managed to snag the Flawless Fretwork achievement for getting 100% on a guitar song on Expert. So a song I would recommend for doing that is Maps. It's a very easy song, even on Expert. And most of you...
By the yes, and I'm going to cut you off by also saying that the bass one where you do upstrum is also really good on that same song. If you're having a problem with the upstrum, what I did is, because my TV situated next to a window, I did lefty flip, and I just looked at the reflection, and then, hey, wow, it was normal, and then my downstrumming became upstrumming according to the controller configuration of it being lefty flip.
There you go.
Take it away, Matt.
All right, and then just moving on to some Mercenaries 2 achievements real quick. There's a few. First of all, a lot of people have been wondering what that last secret achievement is. Well, it's been revealed this week that it's actually called Aces High, and it's for capturing all the high-value targets alive instead of just killing them. So you got to make sure you capture all of them alive and you get them into the helicopter and export it away. Another tip, a $1 billion babies achievement in Mercenaries 2 for earning $1 billion. A real easy way to do that is to do the winching challenge. which your helicopter driver gives to you. If you go back to your main hub, the PMC, you visit the helicopter driver. I think his name is Ewan, maybe. Yeah, Ewan. He'll have a challenge for you, the winching challenge, and it should be level 3. If it's not, do the level 1 first and the level 2. And once it's at level 3, if you keep doing it over and over, the wager on the challenge will get higher, and then each time you complete the challenge, you'll make more and more money. Eventually, you could get it up to even like 20, 30, 40 million per challenge, and the challenge only takes about 2 minutes to do. It's real easy. So that's another achievement tip. And one more, or two more, actually. Some people have been wondering in Mercenaries 2, there's a glitched achievement called Stand Up and Shout. It's one of many glitched achievements. It did glitch for me, though. And you're supposed to get it after a cutscene when you're introduced to the Chinese and ally nation factions. I did not get it. If that does happen to you, I know it's happened to a bunch of people, simply start up your Xbox, turn it on, but don't have any connections to the internet. So either pull out your Ethernet cord, take off the adapter, and just sign into your account, but make sure you're not on live and not connected to the EA servers. And once you start up the game, you should get it once the game once it drops you back in the game after it loads up. So just make sure you're not connected to live or anything. And that kind of bugs me, because I hate when the achievement just says acquired with no date. But it did glitch for me, so I had to do it. And one more thing, a lot of people have been wondering about, people have been messaging me. In Mercenaries 2, the We'll Burn the Sky achievement for unlocking all the landing zones, many people think they only have 21 out of 22 landing zones and think they have a glitch. Not many people realize that the last landing zone is actually the Chinese headquarters. Because of the way the game progresses, you don't actually get to go to the Chinese headquarters right away. So a lot of people don't realize that they've never visited the Chinese headquarters. And once you do visit their headquarters and take a mission from them, then you should unlock that achievement, no problem. And that's all for today, because we're running low on time. But if you have any more questions or inquiries about achievements, just you send me a message over live. My gamer tag is Matt, M-A-T-T, space, Joe, J-O. Or you could direct them to Knuckles Dawson, because he's also into the achievements, right?
Yes, because we have last month, Rooster Teeth launched the new website, achievementhunters.com, or achievementhunter.com, not hunters. And we've got daily video guides Monday through Friday, and we have full achievement listing for Xbox 360, games for Windows, Steam, iPhone, and even PS3 trophies. And we have lots of great features and community features that you get as part of being a Rooster Teeth member. So you have your own journal, friends list, commenting on stuff, forums for all the games, forums for generic talk, and you know, ability to submit your own achievements, comment on achievements if you have any comments you want to make on them, and just a lot of really good, it's a really good achievement site, and I'm really behind it fully, and I really think that it's a, definitely setting a new standard in both achievement videos and how achievement-related community sites are run. So, yeah, check us out.
Greatest plug ever.
You think okay. I did okay? That was all awesome. That was all.
See, my it looks like we've also lost a Frank yet to go, so Frank and Evan are now gone.
Don't announce that. Just pretend he's still in.
Yeah. Yes.
Hi, Frank. How's it going?
It's all right. Thank you.
All right. So let's finish it up.
Let's just wrap it all up. So predictions. What do you think what's going to happen in the next week, and specifically in the X3F podcast?
Here's the two best game ever. I'm best of third.
Rock Band 2.
I know there's specifically scheduled for next week for XBLA.
Okay.
I'll mention them in a sec. Just go on without me.
Well, what's coming out this next week?
All right. Rocketball comes out next week. And I'm going to tell you something. Rocketball is really, really good. Played it on the PC since 2004. It's basically a cross between bowling and miniature golf. So
interesting.
That's coming out next week on XBLA. All
right.
Well, I think not this next week,
September 10th.
But the week after, I think Alexander's going to mention Spore, because I know he's got a new gaming rig all set up, so he's going to go back and play some Spore. So, yeah.
Spore.
Even though it's not on 360.
It'll be on 360. All
right. Eventually. At some point. Yeah. I know it can. But, yeah. It's time to say goodbye. So, thanks to Richard Mitchell, Dustin Berg, Dav DeMatos, and... what's the other name? Alexander Slewinski.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Slyzander.
Slyzander. Right, so thanks to our special guest David Dreger, aka Knuckles Dawson. Last minute plug if you want.
Chimhunter.com. We'll beat the shit out of X360A and achieve 360 points because our press release even states that we are the Jesus of achievement sites.
Awesome.
And I'm the Satan.
And thanks to Frank Romano. So
EasterCastOnline.com, and he is the man 661. Good friend of mine. Yes.
So, yes, thank you for popping along and saying hello and ranting on about PAX.
Yeah, it's, go there.
Oh, it's over
look
now.
The DreamCast jersey. That's me. Say hi. It's good time.
Hi.
I think, yeah.
And we'll also link off to Frank's site and David's site in the show notes if you guys want to check those out.
You're weird being called David. I do not like it. But yes. It's hey, nice. Hey now. Wow. Yeah, just in gaming context, it feels weird hearing my real name a lot. Anyway, yeah, so thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. And hey,
it's okay. It's good to hear a familiar voice.
Yes, so, which you can hear daily over at achievementhunter.com whenever I post my video.
Oh, and there he goes again. So, yep, thanks. I've been Richard.
I've been Patrick.
Jonah.
I've been Matt.
I've been Holly.
And I'm
always
been
Evan!
Oh,
I've been Knuckles.
All right.
Oh,
Next.
Right, before I go on to next, is Holly still there? Because I am.
What? I'm awake.
I just haven't heard anything from you. It's just.
Beep.
I don't know if a hurricane's sent you flying.
No, it's going to get Jonah first.
It's in my belly.
One could only help.
Yeah, hurricane's in your belly?
Get in my belly.
Wow. Get in my. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher up on the food chain. Get in my belly.
Why are we referencing movies that are almost 10
7 years old? So, I'm in.
Okay, Hannah's arrived, and a witch just flew past my window.
Yeah, the thing's hitting here right now, actually. So we're buckling down.
And cut.
Bunch of jerks.
All right, wait. So on Knuckles, what is this history you're referring to?
STFU, GTFO. Not reading the Twitter while we record this. Don't really understand what's going on, and they're not going to close them out. So let's not talk about it right
now.
No,
we're on break now.
We're going to write to it.
Yeah, Matt, why are you doing that?
What?
I hate Skype.
Wait, Benny Hill's getting sucked away by the hurricane.
Oh, darn.
I'm not oh no! Whatever will we do?
I'm not looking.
Have a good show.
You've got that bar set high today.
Oh, some Budweiser flavored ice cream.
That's not the real outro, by the way. But yeah.
Okay. We all hang up now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Who was that? Anyway? I can't see.
Jonah.
I was.
Ugh. Jonah.
So, come on, you should fire him.
All right.
There's door.
I'll see you guys later. Thanks for having me.
Later.
Alright,
see
ya. Hey, it's Richard Elliott here once again. I'd just like to say thank you for Knuckles Dawson from AchievementHunter.com and Frank Romero from XCastOnline.com for coming on again. AchievementHunter.com is where I go personally for all my achievement needs, and they've got perfect daily videos on how to get achievements for some of the newest and best games around. And also Frank Romero on the XCast. I personally listen to it every week, and it's a really good show, so I think you should really listen to it. I highly endorse that.